subject of abortion and to give our people a biblical basis for what we believe and why we believe about it, what we do about it. And so if you'll go to Revelation chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 12, 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. As she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that the Bible is very clear, very plain on this subject, Lord. It's very important, Lord, that we be able to answer those who would be on the other side of the fence on this. Most of them do not really know why they believe what they do. They don't understand why we believe what we do. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be biblically knowledgeable, be ready to give an answer to any man, every man that would ask concerning this subject. So, Lord, that we could be well-spoken and biblical. And, Lord, that you would use that as we are given opportunity to change hearts, change minds, Lord. We pray for our country, Lord. We pray for our president right now. We ask, Lord, that you would protect him, and Lord, those that are launching assaults in his direction, help us to understand what it's really all about, what's behind it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. 3,500 babies are aborted every day. Nearly 60 million babies, over 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, 1973. Abortion issue is a battle between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who is not only a liar, but the father of all lies. And a murder, the Bible says, in the same verse. This morning, we addressed the 5 lies that the devil had to sell Americans on in order for us to get to the point where we could accept the idea that babies should be killed before they're born. And we answered those 5 lies with truth this morning. They want you to believe an unborn baby is not a human being, not a person. The Bible explains that, very definite on that. And life begins at conception. They want us to believe every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body, so it should be her choice. And of course, again, even the logic of that, that you should not be allowed to tell me what to do because it's my body, and yet it is somebody else's body that they are destroying. And the baby's sure not given a choice, and this is nothing but the result of extreme selfishness, and we established that. They want you to believe that it is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted or poor or into a potentially abusive situation. We talked about that, answered that. Abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities, explained in 1972, the year before the legalization of killing unborn babies. 39 women died from illegal abortions, 39. So to prevent the deaths of 39 women who were involved in criminal activity in an attempt to kill their unborn babies, we now have legalized the killing of 3,500 babies every single day. Please tell me why that makes any sense at all, and yet America fell for the lie. Number 5, abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases of woman's life is endangered, or in case of rape or incest. And again, folks, life is precious before the Lord in all of these situations. There is no such thing as an unwanted baby. There are couples all over America begging for the opportunity to adopt a child, and there are certainly things that other options, and we answered each of those this morning. So I'm going to ask you to do this, and it's not something I felt like I could show in front of the whole church because of children being present, and I understand that some of the decisions as far as when these things are introduced to your children rightfully should be in the hands of the parents, and so I'm very careful about that. But I would have you do an internet search. And if you've never watched this testimony, if you just put an internet search, former abortion doctor testifies before Congress. Former abortion doctor testifies before Congress. He was only allowed 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you something. The 5 minutes that he used was of God. The way, what he said with the boldness, this is a man that had performed over 1,200 abortions. So he used to be on the other side of it. He stands there before Congress, brings the actual surgical tools that are used, and describes in minute detail how an abortion happens. He's done 1,200 of them, he should know, and why we have to stop it. It's powerful. I would suggest that you listen to it, and you say, preacher, let me tell you folks, if we showed pictures, and by the way, if we show the pictures of what's left after that baby's been taken out of its mother's womb, you know, anytime somebody stands up and shows a picture in a protest, then we are ugly and awful and terrible. It's real, real easy for them to just use the clinical term abortion and us really not understand what happens during that process, that procedure. Anybody that would know and could still be for this, I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say except you're of the devil. You've been influenced so much by demonic thought patterns that I don't even understand how you could okay it. And it's easy to say, well, I think I'm pro-choice. Then listen to the testimony. Then go online and look at the pictures. Listen, put a face on it. Put a face on it. Because, you know, common sense, and if there's an ounce of humanity in any of us, whether we were religious or not, we ought to see those things and say, God never intended for us to do this to our unborn children. But Google that if you would, please. Just do an internet search. Former abortion doctor testifies before Congress. There's a reason that there's people in the community that don't like those 1,000 or 1,000 crosses out there. You see, they just want this to be happening in the background. They don't want to face it. They don't want to understand it. They don't want it really defined. They don't want to see the pictures. They don't want to understand what this really is. But it continues to be America's darkest sin. And I'm telling you, folks, the idea that 3,500 unborn babies are being ripped apart in their mother's womb, taken out a piece at a time, and we just act as if it's no big deal is almost beyond, I mean, have we lost our humanity? Have we lost our humanity? And so I'm going to go to the Word of God now. I'm not going to go back and give all the answers in depth that I gave this morning. If you weren't here, listen to that on the internet. You can listen to this morning's messages, and I'll answer both biblically and I think logically each and every one of the lies that's been presented tonight. I want us to take a time to do a Bible study and see what the Bible says about the sin of abortion, the murder of unborn babies. And where does this really come from? Let me start with number one. Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Revelation chapter 12, can you see this? Hear this red dragon. And he is, of course, represents the devil, this great red dragon. And the Bible says that he stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. Think of the irony of this. He stands before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child. Did you notice that last phrase? As soon as it was born. Well, guess what? The devil's gotten more and more evil. He doesn't get better. He gets more wicked, more evil. And so here, he does not now stand before waiting for a child to be born to try to destroy that child. He enters into the scene during the time a woman is carrying that baby and tries to destroy the baby even before it is born. All through the Bible, you'll see a connection between Satan and the destruction of young children. Herod, think about the story of, we just went through the Christmas story, and here you don't think that Herod was motivated by the devil? You don't think that the potential killing of the Christ child was motivated by the devil? Herod, motivated by Satan, issues a decree to go to Bethlehem and the coast thereof and kill every single child 2 years of age or younger. Pharaoh, remember the story? And he decides that he's going to annihilate the Jews and diminish the population. What decree does he issue? The killing of the Jewish children. Pharaoh said, Israeli midwives who defied the decree of a heathen king were then rewarded by the Lord himself for the saving of those children. One of the sins that Israel got involved in was the worship of Moloch, causing the children to pass through the fire. And what that means is literally, usually it was the firstborn child, they got into a false religion that was Satan worship. Yeah. And part of the way that they appeased Moloch, the god of fire, was to take their firstborn and literally offer him it as a sacrifice, offer him as a burnt offering to this false god. Now, folks, what you read in the Bible when it comes to children concerning the Lord and his view of them is this. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, but they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When we follow the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry, you know what? He's not killing children. He's saying, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. God always puts in the heart of people to love children and to protect children. The devil puts it into the hearts of people to kill and abuse children. And so we see that Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Flip over there. It's good that you know and are familiar with some of the verses that I'm going to reference. But number one, we see that Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Number two, shedding of innocent blood is an abomination before God. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16, Proverbs 6, verse 16, the sixth thing doth the Lord, H-A-T-E, hate. Hey, you know, a lot of people want to only preach and only talk about the love of God. Do you know the same God that loves also hates? There's certain things that he hates. Well, what are they? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue. Number three, and hands that shed innocent blood. And so the Bible talks about this matter of this being an abomination before God. This is something, a sin that is listed, seven sins that God identifies as these sins I hate. Well, please tell me, who is more innocent than an unborn baby? Right. If there is innocent blood anywhere, it's that little child that ought to be in the absolute safest place it will ever be in all of its life, and that is being cradled inside of the womb of its mother. And yet, can you imagine what we've been reduced to? Notice this. I want to just point this thought out. The Bible says that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Every once in a while, if you are pro-life, which means if you're not pro-life, you're pro-death, okay? Not pro-choice, pro-death. But if you're pro-life, then sometimes we are accused of being hypocrites for condemning abortion and yet favoring capital punishment. And again, the Bible has a very simple answer to that. The Bible talks about God hating the shedding of innocent blood. Folks, capital punishment does not involve the taking of a life that is innocent. And so God says, if you take a life, then your life should be taken also. And it's the same God that said that. That's not the same thing, nor should it be talked about in the same sense. And so that's an answer that you need to be ready to give when that accusation is laid here. Number three, this is something. Innocent blood cries out to God for justice. Innocent blood cries out to God for justice. Go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we see the very first time that a murder occurs in the human race. That innocent blood is shed. Genesis chapter 4. And if we read in verse number 8, Genesis 4, verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Well, wait a minute. Who's the father of all lies? Who's also a murderer? All right. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice. Think about that. I think all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. I don't think there's a word that's in there that's not there for a purpose. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And you think about that. I've often said if we could just see what God sees for just a little bit of time, our hearts would be so convicted. And by the way, I think we'd be astounded at the mercy and grace of Almighty God, the patience of God upon this wicked world. But I've also thought to myself, if we could hear what God hears, just for about 10 seconds, if we could hear some things that we cannot hear, but God can hear, one of the things that we would hear as God sits upon his throne, you understand this, folks, this is just the United States of America. When I talk about 61 million unborn babies, we're talking about just in the United States of America. Can you imagine worldwide? I don't even know what that number is. But can you imagine the hundreds of millions of voices of innocent blood that has been shed, that is crying out to heaven for justice, that's crying out to heaven saying, how long, O God, till we are avenged? This is a serious thing. You see, well, it's not a big deal. It is, because God will not ignore those voices forever. And one of the things we'll see when we get down to point number 5 is that this sin is always a part of a nation whom God allows to be judged and oftentimes annihilated. Certainly was true in the country of Israel. So innocent blood cries out to God for justice. And so America is increasing the voices every single day. On average, 3,500 new babies, the voices of their shed blood crying out, joining that great chorus, asking God, how long, how long, how long? Folks, I mentioned it in my prayer, and I want to ask you to pray for our president, okay? I want you to understand something. People ask me, are you Republican or a Democrat? My answer is, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I vote Christian. I got Christian philosophical views of life, Bible-based view of life. And you know who I'm going to vote for? The person that best aligns to the scripture. That's who I'm going to vote for. So this isn't a political commercial. But I want you to understand something, that a lot of times we see the news and we see the headlines. And a lot of times, folks, you got to understand, whatever you're seeing happening is a lot of times a smoke screen. It's not really what the issue is all about. You say, preacher, boy, there's a segment of our nation and a segment of those in power that absolutely hate our president. Well, that's inarguable. That's inarguable. I mean, there is an absolute hatred of this man. But I want you to understand that those that are in power in our country that are either demon-possessed or demonically influenced, and that's a large part of it, okay? One of the things that they hate is the idea that someone could stand between them and the right to kill the unborn. And this attack against our president is not an attempt, and not really primarily an attempt to oust him as president. The real issue is the Supreme Court. That is the issue. Okay? When we were at the last election, you know, I said this very publicly, and I've got to say, I've been pleasantly, I want to say this as a pastor from a biblical point of view, that I don't agree, obviously, with our president on everything and all of the decisions he makes in his personal life. But I have been very pleasantly surprised that he's fallen in line with the Bible much more than I ever expected him to. I made the comment before the election that, are you kidding me? 360 million people, and we put them all in a bag and shake out two, and it's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and that's the choice we've got to make? You know, and I've said it very publicly. Something's flawed in our system. I mean that. You know, when you have to be almost a billionaire in order to even be able to mount a campaign for the highest seat in the nation, then we've been given over to something that that our forefathers never intended us to be given over to. And so we understand the whole process is corrupt. But one of the things that I have to say is that I've just got to tip my hat to him is his strong stand in this area of abortion rights. And you see, folks, I even said to our church, listen, you know what, even if, you know, at the last election, whether or not you, you know, vote, don't sit on the sidelines, vote. Okay, I heard preachers saying, well, I'm just not going to choose between the lesser of two evils. And so I don't think we're supposed to choose. But I said, listen, we're not voting for the future president. We're voting for the makeup for the next 30 or 40 years, the makeup of the Supreme Court, the highest court of our land. To me, that's the big issue. And I did not have, like I said, a whole lot of confidence in the better of the two choices, in my estimation. But you know what? I knew what was at stake long term. And you cannot have a president in that office, we couldn't have, that for the next 8 years has the potential to replace four, maybe five of our Supreme Court justices and have that person be an adamant supporter of the sodomites and a baby killer. Or we're done.
Yes, sir.
Or we're done.
Yes, sir.
And so I want to encourage you, the next election's coming along, and folks, listen to me. What we better do is, you know, if you sit down and you want to critique and you want to criticize and you want to say, well, what about this and that and the other, there's areas of his life that he certainly falls short in, and there are some areas that he stands that is very unchristian, okay? But you better look at the alternative. And realize that we cannot lose the next three or four Supreme Court appointees, because if the wrong person gets in on the next election, you're going to see an older group of Supreme Court justices voluntarily retire to secure the future and allow a baby-hating, baby-killing president and a sodomite-loving president to make sure that they are put into those places of power. And so I want to remind you of that. Just be careful, because I can understand all of us why we sometimes get disgusted with the whole process. But we still live in the greatest nation in the world. And we need to pray for our country. And I put on the sign out there, don't just pray to end abortion, vote to end abortion. And so let's do what we can about that. Number four, abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Human life in the eyes of God is a very valuable thing. If we justify the death of the unborn, and that's the most innocent of our innocent, we start down a road that leads us to rationalize the shedding of any and all innocent blood. And so I want us to understand that abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. Since we have accepted the idea of abortion, we've also been more open to assisted suicide, euthanasia. Now we are not killing babies in the first trimester. Partial birth abortions have become, is practiced and is defended and is legal and acceptable in some parts of our country. And folks, again, I know it's easy, just, well, preacher, I don't even want to think about this. Well, that's the problem, is we just don't think about it. But the idea that a baby could be partially born, okay, halfway delivered, and then someone take a needle and stick it in the back of its head and kill it, how close are we to killing that baby a day later, 2 days later, a week later? What are we going to start doing? I mean this, folks. Are we going to start saying to parents, I'll tell you what, why don't you take this child home and we'll give you 3 months to decide whether they're too much of an inconvenience, you regret the fact that you have to raise this child, it's infringing on your rights and what you want to do, and you have a 3-month window to bring this child back, and we'll put it to death. You say, oh, we wouldn't get to that. No one thought we'd get to where we are right now. And folks, the sanctity of life, listen to me, I'm just going to bring it to where we live. Everybody is wringing their hands and they don't know what to do. And what have we created? And how in the world do we have young people walking into schools with guns and rifles and shooting their classmates? People walking into Walmart, mowing down innocent people. Listen, you can trace it all back to 1973. I'm sorry, but you can. And you know what? This statement would be considered radical in a lot of circles. But when you can okay the taking of innocent blood inside a mother's womb, then you know what you've told those kids? Life means nothing. They take them into the science class, and what do they teach them? You're the product of evolution. You're just the most sophisticated animal so far, but you are an animal. And then they begin to act like animals. And they're taught natural selection. They're taught survival of the fittest. And you know what? They start acting out those things. And as a result, human life, we've been desensitized. I'm going to blow the trumpet on this again. But I'm going to tell you something, parents. If your kids are playing any of these video games where they are involved in the, I don't care if it is on just, why in a world would we consider entertainment, taking a gun, and just mowing other people down and blowing them up and the blood and the gore that all comes with that? And these young people think that that's sport. That's what they do for entertainment. They're one step away from picking up their dad's gun and going doing it for real. And so, good night. And I mean, it's not just children. I'm telling you, you listen to me. And I don't know who does what in this church. But some of you young men need to go home and you need to get those games out of your, because this, listen, it's adults that are more addicted to these things than our teenagers nowadays. We need to get rid of that junk, get it out of our home, get it out of our home, because you know what? Human life in the eyes of God is of great value. Number five, God will eventually bring judgment upon a nation that allows the shedding of innocent blood. 2 Kings 24, we read, In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. And he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent against him the band of the Chaldees, the band of the Syrians, the band of the Moabites, the band of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of God came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. So why did God kick down the gates of protection, open the hedges, and allowed the heathen hordes, the ungodly heathen hordes, to invade what should have been a God-fearing country, his own chosen people? He says, let me tell you why this was allowed. It was surely at the commandment of God came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, for also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. Now, folks, I don't know if we think we're more special than Israel, but we're not. And if God said, I want that nation, my own chosen people, I want them removed from my sight because they filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. Folks, over 61 million unborn babies, we've filled America with innocent blood. And well, you know what, but we are this and we are that. We have the greatest this and we have the greatest that. I'm going to tell you what, God can open up the doors of heathen, pagan. God used Nebuchadnezzar, folks. That was a nation, Babylon, that worshiped false gods. You know, a nation whom God eventually would destroy also. But he used them in his hand as a tool of judgment against America. And I don't think America realizes how fragile we are. We don't realize how fragile we are. You know what? In one day's time, America would be reduced to third world country status. I mean, we could be so disrupted in one day's time that within 6 months, I don't think you understand how quickly this thing could go. And folks, what's held us back so far? Well, it's the TSA. They've kept those terrorists off of the planes. Well, you haven't flown lately, or you would not have much faith in the TSA. Am I saying that right, TSA? No, it's not the TSA protecting us, okay? You know what it is? It's God that's protecting our nation. And but you've got to understand, they don't need planes anymore to do what they did. And folks, there's nuclear bombs that can fit into suitcases. Okay, my truck driving friends, I stop at a lot of Loves. I don't know why, but I love Loves. If I'm traveling and I need fuel, I'll wait till I see a Loves. You have to listen to me. You go almost to any truck stop in the Midwest, not on the East Coast, not on the West Coast, and you know what you see? You see men that have been imported from these Middle Eastern countries, and they're in there fueling their trucks. There's thousands and thousands, am I wrong? There's thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of them driving semi trucks. And they don't worship our God. And they come from countries, I didn't say every one of them do hate America, but they come from countries who traditionally hate America,
yes, sir,
and have dedicated themselves to the destruction of America. So they got semis, but they don't need semis. Do you realize what would happen if a nuclear bomb could be put? Now, you say, you're going to give my kids nightmares here. I hopefully we'll get families on their knees praying for America. Okay, if you haven't stopped out here and prayed once over these crosses, 22nd. Is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Let's see, what is today, the 19th? So that would be Tuesday, is that right? You know what, let's take this a little seriously. I'm afraid even in Blessed Hope, this has kind of gotten to be one of those things we just do. To me, this is the life and death of our nation. Okay, this is not going to continue without God at some point saying, okay, if I don't do, you know, we always say, you know, if something doesn't happen with this idea of our acceptance of the Sodomite sin, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's worse than that. He's going to have to apologize to his own people, Israel, if he lets America slide. Do you realize a coordinated attack on the 20 or 25 largest cities in America with a nuclear bomb-type device? Do you have any idea? I mean, a couple of planes run into a couple towers and almost, you know, and hit the Pentagon, and thankfully God spared the White House.
Yes,
and see the chaos that ensued in our nation. Okay, I happened to be in Indianapolis when that happened, or I had to go to Indianapolis the day it happened, and by the time I got back, do you realize almost every gas station had quadrupled the price of their fuel? And you know what, can you imagine the chaos? What I'm saying is this. America's got a haughty and proud and arrogant spirit about it. The God haters that are controlling a large section of this country and definitely run Hollywood, run of all of our entertainment, are mocking and blaspheming God to his face every single day in every way they can do it. You know, and you know, God has been patient. And what Brother Isaac prayed, he's right. One of the reasons we need to live a righteous life is so that we give God a reason to spare our country. But this can't continue. At some point, God could absolutely reduce us down to nothing in a day's time. And so let's pray. You know, after that happens, if it happens in our lifetime, we're sure going to be praying. So why don't we pray before it happens? And why don't we do everything we can? Say, preacher, I don't know, what do we do about this? I'm done, but listen, four things. Pray to end abortion. Pray every day and ask God to end this blight in our nation. Vote, number two, vote to end abortion. Vote to end abortion. Don't vote your pocketbook. Okay, vote biblical principles. Number three, evangelize our nation. because we are no longer the moral majority. And the only way we can get that back is to be busy outwinning souls. Number four, educate our nation. In your circle of influence, the material that I've given you, and I give this almost every year in January, almost the same exact things, I do that so that you have an answer to give. And a lot of times people are shooting out their mouth and they're for something. They don't even know why they're for it. And somebody that can present an argument, tell them, you know, the next time you have somebody, say, can I send a link to your phone? And I'd love for you to watch the former abortion doctor give testimony. And then afterwards, let's talk about why that could be, you know, right or should be legal in any stretch of our imagination. What we need to do is we need to educate our children growing up. We need to educate our neighbors and friends. Speak up. Speak up. We've been told that we don't have freedom of speech anymore. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And so let's do what we can to turn the tide in our nation. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed. Lord, thank you for a day that we can put the emphasis and put the spotlight on this sin in our country. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us the sins of our nation. Forgive us, God. We've legalized abortion. Somehow we've legalized sodomite marriages. Lord, we've put ourselves in the crosshairs of God's judgment. And Lord, yet you've been very patient and merciful. Lord, if you were to act today, if you were to act tomorrow, bring catastrophic judgment against this nation, there's not anyone that knows and understands the Bible that could bring accusation against you. You've been overly patient, overly merciful. Lord, we do pray for an extension of your mercy and your long suffering. Help us in this little space of grace that you've given us to be busy doing what we ought to do, to win the lost, Lord, to pray, to vote, to interact, to call, to talk to those that represent us. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would change the structure. I've prayed this for years, that you would change the structure of our Supreme Court so we could revisit this decision, have this overturned. Lord, we just beg you and ask you, dear God, I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, right now, Lord, in your ears, along with hearing my prayers, you're hearing the voices of the blood, the innocent blood of over 61 million babies just in the United States. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd forgive us again. Help us to keep our lives right. Help us to be busy serving you. Help us to make whatever difference we can make. While we still have time to make it, we pray these things in Jesus' name.